All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Now, tonight, God willing, we're going to conclude our time in the bridal highlights of the life of Joseph. And I am thankful for this journey that the Lord has given us to just grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what knowledge he wants us to know. Amen. And thank the Lord for that chosen vessel, Brother Paul, in that, oh my, in the power of the Holy Ghost, what deep things of God we see and how the Lord lights up his word to us and enlightens the word in us. And thanking God that it just takes us on, and thanking him for this desire that he gives us to want to hear these things and to study, and how wonderful that God does this. Now, last week, it was Jacob's blessing to Joseph that we read about in Genesis 49. And we saw, I believe, very clearly by the power of the Holy Ghost, those bridal glories that were so apparent in the blessing that was given through Jacob to Joseph. But tonight, here in Deuteronomy 33, what we have is the blessing that is through Moses. And this now will magnify Joseph truly in the magnificence as that type of Christ. And I think it's so precious how that oneness and how it is all the Lord. That rib portion is never seen by itself. It's always seen through the Lord. He's always there. It's him. She is like him. That glory will always be apparent. And tonight, we'll see how manifest this is, that Jesus Christ receives all. He receives all power, all inheritance, all reigning. He's all in all. And it will be fully displayed under and in him. But before we get to that, again, so keep your finger in Deuteronomy 33. I just want to give you a little tidbit here in Psalm 80. Say, now, wait a second, how do we go over here to there? Well, listen to this. In Psalm 80, verse 1, it says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up thy strength and come and save us." I rejoice in glory, and I believe the Lord just wanted me to speak that verse of his here first. You think about that, the shepherd, the Joseph, you've got the cherubim, you got them highly favored brother Benjamin, you got the double portion of Joseph's offspring right there. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what encouragement to us. See, God just continues to bring this in, and that's why I say, God willing, we'll have a study on those two verses later on. But as what we know in the truth, think of how God displays these things. He puts them on display over and over and over throughout the Word of God. Don't think that you're trying to make something out of this. This is what God reveals. And I thank the Lord he's speaking of himself in all of that might, all displaying all of that full glory, that wondrous divine grace, all of those things, whether it was Joseph, whether it's the cherubim, whether it's the shepherd, whether it's Benjamin, whether it's the sons of Joseph, it's that divine grace. So with that, let's go on back to Deuteronomy 33, and we'll begin reading from verse 13. It says there, "And of Joseph," again, this is Moses saying, he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns, With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And we'll just end it there. And how wondrous that is, that precious blessing there. But in verse 13, notice there, it says, blessed of the Lord be his land. Now, no other child has that in referring to their inheritance of all of Joseph's brothers. That statement is not said. Blessed of the Lord. As we've been studying Joseph, we know he's been the chosen one, the one displaying all of the glory in that robe. He is that full glory in that example. And so it says here that this is a most excellent of inheritance. And I want you to think about how we start this encouragement of this inheritance. It's really the same as last week's inheritance in a way, with the most excellent things. Look at that. The land for the precious things of heaven. And those precious things means the most excellent things. It's the best of its kind things. And notice the very first things that he brings out. It's of heaven. Remember how last week God brought out there about all the blessings from heaven? We could bring that right back into what we're encouraged with, that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Every good gift is from above. It's all in him. It's all of him. That grace comes down. And then it says there, the dew. Isn't that something for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath? Now, so you have all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And then the dew, that speaks of the land being just saturated with the word. The anointing dripping down. What has God done through Christ in giving us that type of anointing? It's the Holy Ghost. Think of what has come down, that we have this time of all truth. He's been with you, but he shall be in you. I've got to go. I have to ascend to the right hand of the Father. Because if I don't go, I can't send him, the Holy Ghost, who will lead you and guide you into all that truth. You think about the anointing dew that we have now in this time. So, we have all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have this dew, this richness of the word of God. And then it says there, the deep and the things that croucheth beneath. Yes, that's the depth. Yea, that's the deep things of God. How and why? By the Holy Ghost. We read that as well last week, didn't we? Isn't that marvelous how God is setting and establishing this up and speaking very deeply to us through this inheritance? Brothers and sisters, this is the most excellent preparedness for the most excellent things to come forth. And praise be to God, we live in that time, brothers and sisters. It's known as the church age. And isn't that beautiful? How fertile he's made it for us. Amen? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. He's given us the Holy Ghost to take us on in to all truth. And not just all truth, but yea, even the deep things, that deepest part of God's heart, the very intent, the good purpose of his will. And we know that by the grace of God, he used that chief of sinner, that chosen vessel unto him, the Apostle Paul, to bring this to us. So you talk about preparedness to receive something. Let me tell you something. It's so fertile like never before, because from this time he's going to bring forth his church, and even more so the glorious church, the bride for the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Now, we would accept that and say, thank you, Jesus. We know that. But I'll tell you what, now as we go on in these verses, you're going to see how he so details this out so perfectly. About what is going to come forth for him. All of this glory for him in this church, praise God, that now will come forth because the Lord has prepared it. Hallelujah. Now, verse 14. I don't want to get into that. Let's get into this. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon. So, here come, first and foremost, the precious fruits. That word precious, it means the most excellent, and it means the best of its kind. All right? So this is the very first things that come forth, that will come forth for him out of what he's done in this church age. All right? That make up the church. So what is the very first thing? It says the most precious things, the best of its kind, and what? It says by the Son. I love that. It didn't say from the Son, but it's of the Son. It's the like him fullness and measure and stature, brothers and sisters. And hallelujah, this is Son glory. Let's turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe it's so beautiful. I think you can even, as we read this and as the Lord continues to expand it, aren't you thankful? You know where we're going. You know how this is leading. Because you know what? It's the same pattern over and over and over. It never strays. It's that exact. It is a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let's read about, again, these glories in 1 Corinthians 15, 41 and 42. It says, there is one glory of the sun. Amen. There's another glory of the moon. There sure is. And another glory of the stars. And one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. See, there is ranks in the resurrection. There are. And every man, as the word of God tells us, is going to be in his own order. And we thank the Lord is that pattern that's laid out. It's always the same. It doesn't vary. So here we are speaking of sun glory. You go over to Romans 8, and you don't have to turn there, but we rejoice in that often, is that if heirs or children of God, we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we might be also glorified together. Well, that glorified together is sun glory. It's his glory. That's it. And we're thankful for that. You go on over to Revelation 21 and you think about that bride that descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light. That's sun glory. Amen? Praise God it is. Let's go on over to Revelation chapter 12. So I want you to think, here Moses is. And you think, I was thinking about how our little study of Moses when he said, I want to see the glory of God. And you saw about the back parts meaning the future and all these different things. Now here's Moses laying out this blessing of Joseph. But now you're going to see what blessing and what inheritance and what glory he's laying out. Again, they wrote those things for us. All right? Okay, we're in Revelation chapter 12 now. Let's go over here to verse 1. Now, before we start this, as we begin, what we're going to find here is this is the description of the church. This is the inheritance of the Lord. What we're going to read right now is that woman that's in the wilderness, all right? And it's going to give details about her. And these details will be the church and the full overcomers in the Old Testament. If you need a little bit of refresher on it, you can either go to the study book right back there in Revelation. It's a wonderful source. And I'll tell you as well, too, go back and listen to the Bible studies on Revelation. It'll just quicken your heart in these different matters. Okay, in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. So we see this woman. Where is she? She's in heaven. Amen. And you think about the attributes that she has, that she's in heaven. We have a woman that's clothed with the sun. Praise God. She's got that moon under her feet. She's got stars on her head. And yet, she's got a child. She's travailing in birth that's ready to be born. So let's hit this tonight in accordance with this wondrous blessing of Jacob. The woman here is the church. Let's notice here first, she's clothed with the sun, S-U-N. It's her array, it's her brilliance, the very righteousness of saints. This sun, this clothing that she's wearing is the bride of Christ. This woman and everything that she represents here is the church. So the very first thing that we see here that's mentioned to us is that she's clothed with the Son. Just like, praise God, Joseph's blessing that we've just read. That was the very first thing. As you go back, keep your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 33. As you said, as we read there in verse 14, the precious fruits brought forth by the sun. And then the next thing is for the precious things put forth by the moon. So the moon, as we see here in Revelation 12, is under her feet. So isn't this something? Wow, that's pretty ironic. A moon is a source of light, but it's a reflected light, isn't it? Amen. It's a glory, but it's not the glory of the sun. And we thank God that we know this difference. The moon, brothers and sisters, as we see the sun glory in all the types that we have, in all of the encouragement that we have, we know that the sun glory is the bride. That's that clothing. That's the very righteousness of saints that clothes her. But then we see the moon. The moon, a reflected body, not in the same place at under the feet. That's the innumerable multitude. We see that part of the church being raptured in the seventh chapter of Revelation. Okay? In the fourth chapter of Revelation is where we see those that are the sun glory saints. We see them as the four living ones that are in the midst of the throne with him. So there's a time lapse that happens. The very first trumpet sound, that bridal company is caught up. The sun glory ones, the ones that are like him, praise God, in the fullness measure and stature of him. The ones that are in that full maturity, that have that first love, praise God. Yes, that zeal according to knowledge. And they take that place. Then sometime later within the 7 years, meaning probably a little over a year, maybe a year and a half. It's not necessarily exactly spelled out to us in an exact time. But we see in that seventh chapter, oh my, there's those that arrive. The innumerable multitude. We know that their place, as we've read many times, is not in the midst of the throne. They stand before the throne. They don't have crowns on their head. They have palms in their hands. And there is not a worshiping company. Their song and their saying is salvation to our God. That's what they have taken. That's what they have grown up in. And as we see here, they have a reflected light. They have a moon glory light because they never took the faith of believing that I could be glorified together with him. Amen. And that's exactly what this is. And that's most of God's precious people. So, we have the sun glory saints, and we have the moon glory saints. Well, let's go on back to Deuteronomy, because I'll tell you what, church ain't complete yet. So, there must be some more coming. So, let's read here in verse 15. So, it goes on and it says, for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. Now, the next thing, or these chief things of the mountain, this word chief, it means the height of stars, it means a crown, and it means a company of the ancient mountains. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. Right there, you got the Old Testament worthies of faith. Now, we thank God. They're not part of the church. They're not. But they're seen in this vision here in Revelation 12:2. After you see the sun, after you see the moon, what does it say there? And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Isn't that just so beautiful how the Lord does that? I mean, he does it so perfectly. You know, he gives you the sun and the moon, but then he's going to say, and the chief thing. And you got to go look those things up. You say, well, Lord, you know, it's of kings to search out a matter. Well, what does that chief thing mean? It means a crown. It means a glory. And it means upon a head. And it also means a company. And notice there it says of the ancient mountains. And this is so beautiful. We see here the worthies of faith. Revelation 12. Those are those 12 stars on the head. Now, you think of how it's roundabout on the head and there's 12. Well, as the Lord has encouraged us as we study out this wonderful blessing, of the Old Testament worthies of faith that the Lord has gathered up unto him. And we thank God. We know that those came out when some of them graves were opened in Matthew 27. They were given those glorified bodies. And as we know with that wonderful Hebrew marriage that God has told us about, there's got to be friends with the bridegroom when he comes to get that bride. And I thank God that he's got a company with him. Matter of fact, it's a cloud of witness. And that's those Old Testament worthies of faith. And isn't it beautiful that you see this wondrous vision of the church, this woman in the wilderness. And it's so meaningful to the Lord to have those Old Testament worthies mentioned with her. Yes. It's so precious. These are his dear friends. Let me tell you something. The Lord loves Moses, and he loves Abraham, and he loves Ruth and Rachel and all those. And it is that romantic, and it is that intimate. These are the ones he loves. And the ones you love, you want to share them with your wife, my beloved. They want to meet her. They get the opportunity to hear his voice call her and be there at the very moment as he meets her in the air. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. You don't think our Lord's in a romantic? I mean, oh my. These are the things by the grace of God. Let these things just flood your mind and your heart. This stuff in the world, it'll only make you down and disturb you. Think on these things. Meditate on these lovely, lovely, lovely things. And I'll tell you, you'll be a happy sort. But so you see here that you got this 12 stars around the head. I love that because you see that the 24 elders, as the very first picture after the trumpet sounds in Revelation 4, you have those 24 elders on 24 thrones right around the throne. So you see them round about again. And I love that because, you know, ones will say, well, why do they use 12 here and why they use 24? Well, let me tell you something. Those 12 and 24 are very, very special numbers, especially in the Old Testament. The number 12 speaks of divine government. And the number 24, praise God, speaks of the priesthood. So here, what the Lord is even doing for us, number two is sufficient witness. He's given you two proofs. And then he calls them elders. Then he gives you three and four proofs. And he continues to lay that out to you so that you can see how dear these saints are to him, that they appear even through this wonderful book of Revelation, and at some very monumental times as he's pointing out his wife in the church. Praise God. So there you have it with those Old Testament saints that are right there. Now let's go back to verse 15 and continue to read that in Deuteronomy there. So it says there, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains. So now we can see that those are the Old Testament worthies of faith. And then for the precious things. See, these are always the most excellent things, the best of its kind. All of these things that the Lord is bringing. Know how he loves the church. Know that. He loves his people. He really does. And how wonderful this is. But it says, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. So what we have here is we had the ancient mountains. Now we have the lasting hills. Now, hills do not have the majesty of a mountain. They don't. But I want you to understand this. Whether it's the mountain or whether it's the hill, this is speaking of the earth, and once it's speaking of the earth, it's always going to speak of Israel and the Jew. All right? The sea speaks of the Gentile. The earth speaks of the Jew. So that's why the mountains, you have the full overcomers of the Old Testament. You have all of those precious ones that were, the majority of them, they weren't all Jews, but the majority of them were in that overwhelming majority. And then those that were brought in that were the Gentiles, they took that faith. And we thank God for that. That's Israel. But then now with these hills, these everlasting hills, we still have another company, and this is his people. This is the remnant, the 144,000. All right? Revelation 12:2. Let's go back to that. Let's read. So, it says, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. As we go on with this study, we find out that company is delivered, and that deliverance is the 144,000. And there it is. Praise God. This is that sweet remnant. Once again, speaking of Israel, speaking of those Jews. And in that tribulation time, it's prepared and they're raptured up in Revelation chapter 14. Each of these companies are so excellent in their place in the church. And thank God again for this testimony. And notice how exact it is. It's in the exact order. The exact order of of Moses' blessing to Joseph is the exact order as you see the revelation of this woman in the wilderness, the church. Isn't it beautiful? I just think it's so marvelous. I mean, you know, he could do a lot of things, but he just has to be perfect. It's just awesome. Just amazing how he just lays it right out there and says, here it is, son. Here it is again. And this is on my heart from ages past. And I had it brought out over and over again. This is be my greatest blessing. This is my inheritance. Praise Jesus. But here it goes is that, okay, now we have the church. And thank God we have the church delivered. We see it all in whole. And then we see the full overcomers of the Old Testament. They're right there along with her. And you think about that. They've been waiting for the bride since they came out of their graves in Matthew 27. So, you know, as I sit back and I look at this, I say, you know, thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, you opened my heart by your grace to want Paul's gospel. Amen. See, Paul's gospel makes this plain. And if you didn't have this, all it's going to do is leave you guessing or searching for something that'll never connect. It'll never be line upon line. It'll never be precept upon precept. You read these things and you kind of wonder, well, what in the world was that about? Why would it be brought out like that? It's specific, it's exact, and the very purpose is for his wife. And I'm telling you, those that'll rule and reign with him, if you want to know, you'll know this will of God. So, let's go on back to verse 16 of Deuteronomy 33. So, we've got now all of the church in those 13, 14, and 15. We've got the full overcomers in the Old Testament. So, man, we've got something prepared that's going to break forth now. And it says in verse 16, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. So we've come to the point now that it's not just on his head, to the top of his head. This is the crowning, praise God, of our Lord and Savior when he takes the throne as God. So beautiful here. What happens in 16 is we move now toward Christ's millennial reign upon the throne. This speaks of those that will not be part of the church. They're precious things of the earth. Sure they are. But those that are going to be saved after the entire church is gathered into heaven. And they either live through, they're living through the tribulation time and they go into the millennial time. We have to remember this. After the church is assembled, which is right around the 3.5 year mark, Christ Jesus, he starts to turn to Israel. It's at that point. It's not just in the millennial time. It's at the 3.5 year point. He turns back because I'll tell you what, when all that wrath comes down and all those things happen in the great tribulation time, the last 3.5 years, do you know where everybody's going to attack? They're going to Israel. They're going to try to destroy the Jew and wipe them off from the face of the earth. And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's a war coming. And I'll tell you what, he that's faithful and true is on a white horse and it's going to be brought forth. The millennial time is when Israel will reign. See, this is going to be a beautiful time. When we get into that, when Christ Jesus takes the throne as God, Israel will reign. They will be the evangelists to the world with the word of God. See, that's what's so beautiful. They're going to be the evangelists. They're going to be the ones that are knocking on your door and being encouraged. This is the time, that great commission that people, so sadly, the people of God think is right now. This is when the great commission is. This is when they'll go out and preach the word of God to every creature. This is that time when child will play with the poisonous snake. They'll pick it up and the lamb will lay down with the lion. This is the time in this millennial time. It's not now, as many believe. But you see here, it goes on to say, the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Isn't that something? All these things coming forth. So we know that we're moving towards Christ's millennial reign, because we're talking about upon Joseph's head and that crowning upon his head. That's when Christ Jesus will take the throne as God. But think of this as it says, the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. What happened at that time? Moses was told, I am that I am. And what was that for? Why did he appear in that bush to him? It was to encourage Moses that he was going to deliver the people, the Jew, out of Egypt. Amen? Well, let me tell you something. There's a greater deliverance for the Jew that's ever been. They're a lot greater than Egypt. It's coming. And it's going to come, praise God, and usher in the millennial reign when Christ will be on the throne as God. And he will receive that crowning upon his head. Praise his name. And why is this? As we go back and read that sweet verse again in verse 16. For the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof. There's precious things to him. He's going to save them. That's his people. And for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. That's speaking again that there's going to be a deliverance. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of his head of him that was separated from his brethren. And aren't you thankful that Christ was separated in death and then he was separated to the right hand of God? I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of separation, praise be to God, but it's all for a purpose. It's for a divine, mighty purpose of what the Lord's going to do. And then finally, as you read verse 17 here, it says, his glory is like the firstling of the bullock. And his horns are like the horns of the unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. First off, his glory is like the firstling of the bullock. He is the only begotten. He is. Yes, he is. And he is the once for all sacrifice, praise God. He is the first fruits of heaven, and all comes forth after him. So, it says here, and his horns, which speaks of strength, are like that of the unicorns. The unicorn in the Word of God always refers to the power that delivers Israel. Anytime you'll read of those unicorns, it's always about the power that delivers Israel. The unicorns found in Numbers chapter 24. That's Israel's deliverance seen through the prophet Balaam. In Isaiah 34, the unicorn speaks of the Lord's mighty judgment that will happen for Israel's sake. And it's all perfect, brothers and sisters, because you think about the power of the unicorn for Israel that's coming. Well, we've been moving pretty quick tonight, so let's just go on over to Revelation 19 and let's read about that power that's coming. In verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule with a rod of iron, And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, how mighty this is, that it is he that's faithful and true on that white horse. And I love the armies of heaven following. Brothers and sisters, praise be to God. That's us. Thanking Jesus that, he brings this together. And it's all from the full glory. See, this is his full glory. This is what this speaks of. I thank God that Joseph's life, every bit of that testimony, was not going to settle for the halfway house. It was all about the full glory. It was all about what was promised in ages past. There was nothing else that was going to be attained but the finish. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for this, that that's the inheritance. And we thank God that in his reign, it's forever and ever. And thank you, Jesus, that, he's brought us into this with him, that we would rule jointly together with him, that we would reign jointly together with him. I pray that as we read this and understand all this power, all this glory, all the fullness of everything, all in all, he will share that together with her. He will share that with her. He's waiting right now. He's waiting until he has her to take that. He's waiting right now at the right hand of the Father and will not receive that crown upon his head, as it speaks here of Joseph, until he has his wife, until he has, praise God, this company, especially this ruling and reigning company. We could get back into this, and the white linen and clean speaks of the queen's clothes. It's so marvelous. He will have his queen and she will be with him. And they ride together. And they rule and they reign together. And praise be to God, they receive that glory jointly together. And that's this glorified together. And I pray that, God gives us even more strength in this witness. The intimacy of him weaving this beautiful pattern over and over and over for us. Whether it's even in a single life, whether it's like a Ruth or a Rahab or a Tamar, whether it's in his dealings with Moses, as we've spoken of. Think about our study back with Jonathan and David, as we could see that beautiful pattern of that ruling and reigning coming back over and over again. And then praise be to God with Joseph, and not just in his life, but even of those things that were spoken of to Joseph, whether it was from his father and the blessing that he received last week, as we read and rejoiced that, praise the Lord, it was the fullness of that purpose. It was that daughter, praise God, and that blessing of glory so immense that it was that full overcoming company, that bow that ran over the wall. Amen. And here we are. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. And thanking God again that it was for that purpose. It's for that purpose of the fullness of his will. It's everything that he has. God's given us everything. The fertile ground that we've read tonight. You think about how he's promised us that we have been blessed. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have the greatest, the most exceeding, the best of its kind that's ever been given. We were given the better thing. I can say that. Don't cringe as a Christian that's heard this wondrous gospel when somebody says that. It's almost like a cringing thing sometimes to folks. And, well, he really didn't mean that, or you're thinking you're better. No, it has nothing to do. That's ignorance. That's what a child would say. And we're not children. We're not children. We're kings. Read the word of God. Know what he's done for you. Stand in defense of this. Don't back down. Do not back down. you continue to go forward and preach that truth in love. And I thank God, this word, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It reproves, it rebukes, it exhorts. It does these things, and it does. It divides the very intent of a heart. And I thank God for that. I'm privileged to be with you. And I'm not flattering you. I'm thanking God for the grace of God that's with you. You did not make it vain. And God help us to have this boldness. And not just to, we sit still to listen. But I'll tell you what, inside we're soaring. And we're fighting and we're enduring hardness and we war. And he's taught our hands to war and we praise him and we stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. But he's given us all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. He's given us the Holy Ghost, praise God, that has given us the ability to be led into all truth and to have love shed abroad in our hearts. Praise God, love, prepared love. That now we can receive the bridal message, yea, the deep things of God, the things beneath.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Amen?
I tell you what, I'm excited if the Lord tarry to Sunday. We're going to talk about that wonderful courtship. We're going to talk about Tammy, that half hour in a closet. And we're going to go back there and read that. And I'm sure many are going to blush. And that's okay. Because by the grace of God, I'll preach that until he take me. I will. And pray. I am so thankful the Lord's already started out a couple studies. We're going to go on to highlights in the In Christ of the Apostle Paul. And we'll take some time there till Jesus comes. I pray this has been a blessing. Let's stand, be dismissed.